Scattered showers, lows dip down to about 31. Overcast again, tomorrow, a mixture of precipitation likely, highs level off around 35. A dusting of snow, tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm staff meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely, she was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show, final half hour of today's show, third hour of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy. Well, again, talking about what they did to us in Lansing yesterday. While we were on the air and shortly thereafter, we had a guest on talking about her email to the elected officials, Speaker of the House Lee Chatfield, Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, and numerous state reps and state senators. Our phone calls last week, Thursday and Friday, Monday, telling them to take a roll call vote. All of that went for naught. Voice vote, wimped out. Really don't even know who in the House voted for it or against it, if any. Well, joining us again, attorney Catherine Henry is on the line with us. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning.
So how do you feel this morning after what I'm considering a betrayal of the people and our wishes? How are you feeling this morning?
First of all, I just want to make sure, can you hear me okay in this connection? I'm not sure if it's good
today. We're good. We can hear you fine.
Okay. All right. So, of course, I'm a little bit upset by what happened yesterday. There's a combination of people that I believe are purposely trying to give the governor more power than what she needs. But then there's also the other people, some really good-hearted, good-minded legislators who just simply do not quite understand all that is at play here. And they've been given some really bad advice. It's not just one. It sounds like there are many legislators that have been told some incorrect pieces to our statute. So we probably need to start clarifying what some of those are.
Now, in talking about that particular point, you're a lawyer and you're of the position that there is certain statutes, real laws already on the books that this governor is violating and that these legislators are acquiescing, allowing her to violate, all for in the name of this China virus, this pandemic. This is the excuse they're using, and that they're basically allowing her to violate these statutes?
So, like I mentioned, some have just been given misinformation by people that they trust within the main House or Senate organization. So what I could talk about, for example, is some of the legislators were concerned that if they did not vote yesterday to give her until the 30th of April, and it's such a shortened period of time, that if they essentially took no action at all, that would allow her to keep going with an endless date under the old, the original emergency power statute 10.31 that we talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's the part of the act from 1945. And anyone who takes a look at that, it's not a very long statute. 10.31, subdivision 2, essentially concludes by saying that if she declares a state of emergency, that it shall cease to be in effect upon declaration by the governor that the emergency no longer exists. So if you're reading that by itself, yes, it looks like she has the sole authority alone to determine how long this thing lasts. If she wants to have a state of emergency last for the whole 3-year cycle that this pandemic is supposed to be taking, that according to the statute read alone, she would have the authority to do that. However, if we fast forward to 1976, we had the Emergency Management Act that we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And so Chapter 30 of the Michigan Codified Laws clears up or gives more specifics to the powers that are talked about in MCL 10.31. So 10.31, subdivision 2, talks about that the state of emergency shall cease upon the governor saying so. However, 30.403, subdivision 3 for the state of disaster, subdivision 4 for the state of emergency, but has the identical language, says that the governor, after 28 days, the governor shall issue the executive order declaring that the state of disaster or state of emergency is terminated, unless the legislature does, in fact, vote to give her that extended period of time. So you have to read the laws together. And the one that came in 1976, that package of laws, the Emergency Management Act, those pieces came out to provide much more detail, direction, and explanation in our laws. So, yeah, reading the original one alone, it looks like she has an endless time frame to work with. But we have to look at the laws together, and by reading them jointly, it's clear that while one says it's going to cease when she says it does, the other law tells her specifically when she has to say that it's done. So that was a big concern as to why certain legislators were feeling the pressure that they had to vote to give her some period of time, because otherwise she would just take the full 70 days or more.
So let me for a... just a common sense former truck driver, what I'm hearing you say is that the law of 1976 was what they felt compelled to basically actually provide a vote so that they could hang their hat on the fact that 1945 is no longer in effect. We're looking at 1976, or like you're saying, reading them together, and that's why we're here. We're extending it as a courtesy based on that most recent law of 1976.
Some viewed it that way. Some were specifically told that if they did not meet to extend the time at all, that she would just deem that all of her powers rested in 10.31, subdivision 2, allowing her to keep it going for all eternity.
In perpetuity, so forever. So for example, when Ezekiel Emanuel, Ron Emanuel's brother, who was the architect of Obamacare, was on CNN yesterday and said that the state of Michigan, as well as the entire country, needed to be shut down until we had a vaccine, which could be a year to 18 months from now, that we needed to keep these shutdown orders in place. Okay, she then could take that type of position. And in perpetuity, she could just continue to renew these executive orders unabated without any challenge from the legislature if they didn't, in fact, vote yesterday.
Well, that's if only the original statute existed. So if the act from 1945, which is MCL 10.31 and coupled with 10.32 and 10.33, if that original statute was the only one on the books about the subject matter, then yes, she could just keep doing that. And that's where some were told, well, in her executive orders, she references this 10.31. So she's trying to rely on that. I think our governor knows better. I think she knows that it's not just that one statute that applies. We also need to look at the entire Emergency Management Act, specifically MCL 30.403. And whether she's going under subdivision 3 with her new declaration of disaster, or whether she's going under the original declaration of emergency, subdivision 4. Either way we look at it, it specifically tells her that she shall issue an executive order declaring that the state of disaster or state of emergency has terminated once we've reached that 28th day, unless the legislature does something to vote to extend.
Got it. Now on that, I am on that point. I'm hearing rumors, and I've gotten it through a couple of different sources, that she's already in the process of extending this stay-at-home order, that it's probably coming on Monday. that she's going to write a new executive order that will give her 28 days to basically keep us at home, not going to work. That goes against the April 30th deadline of her having the emergency powers to do that. What happens if, in fact, she does that on Monday and goes for another 28 days? What kind of legal situation are we going to be put in as a state?
Well, and that's where we need to step up and start doing the right thing, because if we're not going to follow our laws just because it's a time of emergency or because there's a pandemic, then what's the point of having the laws at all? So, yeah, if she's going to try to extend, well, she's already extended some of these other, I guess you could say, minor or subordinate executive orders beyond the time period that she had.
Right.
So, I mean, certainly canceling school, she's determined already that we would not be able to resume school anytime in April or in May, even though the original executive order for the state of emergency ended yesterday. So,
right.
Once the state of emergency or state of disaster, whichever one we're going under, once that power has ended, so let's say that yesterday the legislature had not voted to give her additional days, then starting today, all those emergency orders that she had put in place that were relying on that state of emergency, those other executive orders would no longer have any teeth. They wouldn't have any power to them at all.
Right.
So it's important that we realize that. So if the legislature does not extend past the April 30th that they gave her yesterday, if they do not meet again to extend into May or June or whatever she's asking for, then an additional 28 days, she could write it for the next 10 years, we're going to stay shut down. That executive order would have no power, because its power is derived from the authority of the Emergency Management Act. And so that state of emergency goes away, then her power to create all those additional executive orders regarding that state of emergency, they have no effect anymore.
Now, real quick, in the last minute, 10 seconds, do you think they're going to extend her emergency powers again?
I fear if we do not do something that, yes, they will do that, because they are given so much misinformation. There's so much out there, and there's so many people, legislators and not, who are so run by fear right now, and they're not looking at the facts. They're not looking at the medical facts. They're not looking at the actual language of statutes. So whether it's based out of fear or whether it's based out of misinformation that's coming from certain individuals, we need to get out there as citizens. We need to get out there and contact our legislators and make sure that we have our voices heard, and they know that this going on for all eternity is not okay. We need to tell them there's ways to fix it without giving her the police power for that long.
Catherine Henry, appreciate your time. Thanks for your input. We're going to stay in touch, Catherine.
Yes, thanks.
Final segment.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Are you tired of burning wood or propane to heat your house? Do you have a well? Why not use your well water to heat your home and save a ton of money and time? You can call for a free home inspection to see if your home qualifies for a Well Connect unit. Well Connect will come out and inspect your home, then explain the benefits of getting a Well Connect unit with zero down financing options, electric rebates, and a federal tax credit too. Made in Alpena, Michigan, call them today at 989-356-2113 to get a free home inspection. Again, call them at 989-356-2113. Don't go out in the cold to get wood, and stop feeding the pig. Find out if your house qualifies for a Well Connect unit. When you hear all the details, you'll realize getting a Well Connect unit is a no-brainer. And check out their website at wellconnectsaves.com.
Well, Whether it's the smell of a toasting Village Hearth blueberry bagel or cooking hot dogs over a campfire, kids of all ages want simple, comforting food that reminds them of mom's home cooking. Village Hearth was born from that nostalgia and commitment to simplicity. Baked locally and delivered fresh daily, you'll find a wide variety of buns, breads, bagels, and English muffins at a grocery store near you. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy. Here at 97.7 FM WCHY Sheboygan, we have Michigan-based talk shows in the morning, and then at 12 noon, we bring you the super hits of the 60s, 70s, Motown, and the roots of rock and roll for the rest of your day. Listen, learn, and then sing along. If you'd like to advertise your business, organization, or event, send us an email at wchy.us@gmail.com or give us a call at 231-360-5125. You'll be glad you did.
If you're nearing 65, you're probably being bombarded by insurance companies by mail and phone, trying to sell you this product or that. Laura Bogdan has personally looked after the needs of seniors, taking the time to explain how Medicare works and other benefits you may not even be aware of. Laura is ready to help you today.
I'm Laura Bogdan. Call me today, 231-264-6890, 231-264-6890.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky. There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number three. Again, Rich Foley's out there visiting folks. If you want a free home inspection to see if your home qualifies for a WellConnect unit, no payments for this year. Get a $1,000, $1,500, $1,700 check from your electric company within 30 days. No payments till next year. Give Rich a call. His cell phone number is 989-306-3656. Give him a call. He'll come up to your house. He's out in the area visiting folks as we speak. Folks, I'm going to put something out there right now. I'm going to pray on this. I'm going to do research on it. I'm going to put this out there. These good Republicans, quote unquote, that are representing us right now, that are acquiescing, giving in to this governor, they need to be primary challenged this year. If they're not term limited out where they have an open seat, people should be running for those offices. But if they're not, if they're running for re-election, pay $100, file your affidavit of identity, file it with your county clerk, because most of these statewide state representatives represent more than one county. Pay your $100 fee, file your affidavit of identity, and run against them. I'm done with these guys. Jack O'Malley voted for it. Carolyn Cater has already filed her papers. She needs to come out today blasting him for doing what he did. The filing deadline to file your affidavit of identity is Tuesday, April the 21st. That's 2 weeks ago from yesterday when they took this vote. 4 o'clock p.m. on April 21st. If you go to michigan.gov/SOS, there's a link there for elections. And you can click on this link, and you can find the requirements of what you can do. Now, if you don't have the $100, you can collect signatures. You can get petitions signed. You can get people to sign your petition. You can turn a petition in lieu of paying the $100. When I ran for the state senate back in 2010, I paid the $100. I didn't have time to go out and get signatures. We need people listening to this show, people on social media, I'm going to put this blast out there. Enough is enough. I am absolutely disgusted by the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate. Shirky acquiescing to this governor. Then he's going to put out that pathetic video he just posted. Speaker of the House, Lee Chatfield, really? You should have taken a vote not to extend it. This declaration, folks, would have ended yesterday. She did it on March the 10th. 28 days was yesterday, April 7th. That's why they were in Lansing taking the vote to begin with. These representatives need to be primary challenged on this issue alone, let alone all the other crap that they've been doing to us for the past year and a half. I am going to print out the filing requirements for office of state representative for the 2020 election cycle. I'm going to put this into a PDF, and I'm going to put this online and share it with you on our Facebook page and our websites. Lee Chatfield's term limited out. We already have people filing or getting ready to file for that position. Tristan Cole's term limited out. We already have Ken Borton and Tony Cutler running for that. But Sue Aller voted for this? Really? Beau LaFave up in the UP? Other state representatives, I got listeners all over the state listening right now. You run for office. You file your affidavit of identity, pay the $100, file it, form a committee within 10 days, and put the fear of God into these people. You are not going to extend her emergency powers beyond April 30th. And I am going to make it a campaign issue if you do. You know why? Because I'm going to file my affidavit of identity to run against you in the August 4th primary on April 21st, less than 2 weeks. I'm going to pay the $100. I'm going to put my name on the ballot. And guess what? I'm going to tell everybody in the district that you gave more dictatorial, tyrannical control of our lives over to this governor, and you call yourself a Republican? Let's see how that August 4th primary goes for you guys. Let's see how it goes. Defend it. Because I got to tell you something. I believe people that will vote on August 4th, the Republican primary, will vote for your opponent. They'll vote for you guys. They will not vote for these absolutely idiot incumbents. Like Catherine said, getting wrong advice, being told the wrong things, where they don't even know the statute, they don't even understand how limited this governor's powers are, but yet they're going to extend her powers over our lives. Run against them. I'm Chuck Arandi.
This is Cassie. Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers.
God willing, we'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Would you like to lose weight, lower your blood pressure and cholesterol, all while reducing the prescription medications you're taking? Would you like to increase your energy, tone, shape, and strengthen your muscles, reduce blood sugar, and increase your self-esteem? Then 8 weeks to wellness is right for you. Hi, my name is Dr. Kyle Dunham at Breath of Life Chiropractic Wellness Center in Petoskey, and you can join me every Tuesday morning at 9:15 on the Trucker Randy Show so you can learn more about this revolutionary program. 8 weeks to wellness is a comprehensive program that starts with a complete health and wellness assessment, in-depth blood workup, body composition analysis, and wellness education. That all gives us your wellness score. We then tailor a program to fit your needs and goals that includes personalized diet plan and nutritional coaching, chiropractic adjustments, personal fitness training, massage therapy, and stress management instruction. And best of all, it's in one convenient location. If you're interested, listen to the show or call 231-622-8828. Again, 231-622-8828 or go to breathoflifechiropractic.net, breathoflifechiropractic.net.
Did you know annuities are contracts, not investments, such as mutual funds? I illustrate to my clients what an annuity will do, not might do. It's all about guarantees. This is what is unique about annuities. They transfer the risk to the carrier to pay for the rest of your life. No other product on the planet can do that. Call Laura today at Bogdan Insurance, 231-264-6890. Again, 231-264-6890, serving Northern Michigan since 1998.
97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan.
Your current time is noon.